Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
Good Wednesday afternoon. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, of course. I am not Paul Feinbaum. You can still get to me at 855-242-7285. And, of course, on the Twitters at Braden Gall. Honored to be filling in for Paul today here on ESPN Radio. And a lot going on. Of course, the NCAA on Monday trying to crack down on name, image, and likeness, despite the fact that they told everyone for an entire year they could do whatever they wanted after spending 25 years of neglecting the issue altogether completely, even though people inside the building knew exactly what was happening, that it was going to be a big issue and that they needed to address it, and yet they still failed to act. And now they're doing some ridiculous nonsense by putting these new rules in place. Of course, you've got the transfer portal being dealt with. You know, we've got divisions being debated in these spring meetings across all conferences in college football. We spent a lot of time today talking about that. Nick Saban has chimed back or clapped back. I'm not sure what the kids are saying these days. Had some comments after, you know, Scott Satterfield at Louisville accused Nick Saban of potentially tampering with a wide receiver, a player who transferred, of course, to Alabama, wide receiver Tyler Harrell, the Louisville wide receiver. He was, you know, we'll hear from Nick Saban here in just a second, because in Nick's infinite wisdom, he's always threatening all of college football and everything that he says. It's always sort of a scare tactic, a warning shot, which is what I hope the NCAA is doing with this nonsensical retroactive investigation of teams that have used collectives to recruit players. It's just, it's absolutely mind-numbingly stupid what they're doing, and I hope it's a scare tactic, a trial balloon for the NCAA to sort of, you know, we're gonna threaten to take five steps forward, but then we're gonna end up only taking like two or three steps forward. Hopefully that's what this is, a scare tactic. I think Saban, a lot of times when he speaks, is speaking in scare tactics. Oh, you guys want to run spread offenses? Okay, we'll do that too, and we'll dominate. Oh, you guys want to use the transfer portal? You want to open it up? Okay, we'll do that too, and we'll take the four or five best players in America at their positions and fill positions of need, and then they're going to be starters on our depth chart. Like, it's just, this is what Saban does. He looks at the landscape, and he knows five steps ahead of everybody else what's going to happen. So we'll get to that coming up in a little while as well. 855-242-7285. Lots of stuff going on. At some point, folks, we will just be focused on football. Like, that, I know it's May, and it's the time of year where we, you know, have to debate all these things, but it feels like we've had 18 months of nonstop change, chaos, you know, just no clue as to what's happening and what's going to happen and what the sport's going to look like. And this new divisional conversation is a part of it. And that is, I'm okay. I'm on board with conferences getting rid of divisions. I think it is better for the leagues. I think it's better for the fans. I think it's better for scheduling, better for teams, better for our championship. I think it's better across the board. 855-242-7285. Larry from Shelby, you're first up this hour. Larry, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
What's up, Peter?
How you doing, man?
I'm doing good, Peter Byron. That's a lot. Oh, man, trash. Hey, check it out. I'm with you, man. Let's not let this mess up football, man. Damn. And people called yesterday like, legend, oh, I know what's happening. Everybody knows what's happening, man. He ain't brought nothing new. I mean, Saban said it when it started, man. It's going to be a major problem. Some small school's got a major player, and somebody jumps in there and buys him. You know? I mean, I don't want it to mess up football. I'm like you. Hell, man, this stuff ain't worth popping a beer on, you know? it's just so confusing. You sit down and you think you know it, and then just like you got through saying what you said, and damn, I'm confused again. I'm like, duh, what?
Well, here's the good news. Larry, I got great news for you, and I appreciate the call, man. Here is the great news for college football fans. Like, people like me have to know about, you know, name, image, and likeness regulations and guidelines, and that there's going to be lawsuits, and that could they break away and form their own division of football, and what does that mean for the non-revenue sports, and blah, 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 blah. Like, I need to know about all that stuff. Here's the only thing you really need to know if you're a college football fan, and this is, honestly, no joke here on this. This might be the most important thing you hear the entire week. No disrespect to the guy whose name is on the show. But I am almost positive that Paul would agree with me on this, which is that almost none of this affects your experience as a college football fan on Saturdays, right? Does the transfer portal affect what seat you sit in, what stadium you sit in, what color shirt you wear, what song you sing, what parking lot you park in, what beer you're drinking before the game, what gumbo you're cooking? Like, it doesn't matter. None of this stuff actually affects your fandom on Saturdays. The fact that the running back might be getting a couple $1,000s, or the quarterback got $1 million over 4 years, does that affect your life and your experience as a college football fan? We are all. This is the beauty of all this garbage that's taking place, which hopefully leads to a better sport. I can't be sure of that right now. I think some things are good. I think players getting paid. I think getting rid of divisions. I think there's good things in here somewhere. I think the expanded playoff is eventually going to be good for the sport. There's a lot of good stuff that's happening. It's just all overlapped with all the weird and the bad and the complicated. But for me, if I'm an alumni of a school, no matter where you live in this country, you are going to buy tickets for the same seats, in the same section, in the same place, in the same stadium. You're going to park in the same spot. You're going to drink and cook the same food and beverages. You're going to wear the same shirt. You're going to sing the same song, and you're going to sit there, and you're going to cheer on the same team exactly the same way you have for 50 years, 30 years, 100 years. And that, I think, is really one of the most important messages we can deliver. If you want to lose sleep over the transfer portal as a fan, go for it. You know who loses sleep over the transfer portal? Coaches. They get paid millions of dollars to lose sleep over this stuff. I don't care about them. I don't. They are the last people I'm concerned with. The guys making the most money relative to the business are not the people I care about. I care about the fans. I care about the game. I care about the players putting their bodies on the line. And our experience doesn't change. I'm still going to sit down on Saturday at 9 p.m. Central Time, God's time, by the way, here in Nashville, Tennessee. And I'm going to watch Pac-12 After Dark football, and I'm going to enjoy Utah versus UCLA, sitting on my couch drinking a nice glass of whiskey, and I'm going to enjoy it exactly the same way I have every year of my adult life, on Saturdays in the fall. Whether the quarterback gets paid or transferred or the recruits got paid or there's a Silicon Valley collective spending money to get players to go to USC. Like, we can debate and argue all this stuff, and we should, and we will, and we are. But just take a deep breath for a second. How is your life on Saturdays actually going to be any different? Right now, the divisional change we're talking about and scheduling changes and playoff expansion, those are the actual only things that change the way we watch the game and consume the game. Because then it's, well, how does my team get to the conference championship game? How does my team get into the college football playoff? Is it an at-large bid? Is it a qualifier? Like, those are things that actually affect the sport. Even then, it still doesn't change what you do on Saturdays. So I think, to me, that's the comfort I take in all of this. You know, I can sit here and we can debate divisions and permanent rivals and crossovers and scheduling and portal and blah, blah, blah. It's all this stuff. People are tired of it. I think people's eyes are glazing over at this point. Johnny in Alabama. I hope everybody takes some comfort in that. Johnny in Alabama, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
Hey, man. How are you?
I'm doing well, dude.
So I won't take the division side that I like it. One, just because somebody in the division will have beaten everybody else in the division to get to the title game. or will have the best record in the division to get to the title game. In a 16-team division or league like the SEC will be shortly, you could have three teams go 8-0. Who's gonna decide who that third, how that team gets broken out? I don't like the fact. I mean, I would go for a 7-2, where you all seven guys in your division line up, play each other. You play two from the other side, and the chips fall where they are. And if Alabama moves to the East and has to play Georgia and Florida every year, it's not much different than having to play Auburn and LSU every year.
Yeah.
And so that doesn't bother me. The team's going to get to the top, but when you have no way of really comparing schedules from the West to the East, or you've got a conglomeration of three cross and five mix. Well, if your crosses are really good teams that year, and you end up with, you know, let's say Alabama has to play LSU, Georgia, Florida, and they ended up with one loss or whatever, and the other two teams don't play Bama, don't play Georgia, and they ended up with 2-8-0 teams. You got Bama sitting there with one loss. I don't like the fact you can't earn a way to a title game. I mean, I like divisions that will make you earn a spot where you're going.
So let me ask you this, Johnny. Do you think Georgia earns its way into the SEC championship game next year and Texas A&M doesn't? Or do you think it's because their schedules are different?
Well, I mean, you're gonna play what you got. I mean, that's what it doesn't matter to me whether or not, I mean, if Texas A&M wins the West, do they earn their way in? If Georgia wins the East, do they earn their way to that spot?
Right, but what I'm saying is Georgia's schedule is different, is significantly easier than A&M's schedule because of their
division. Yeah, but Georgia still has to play everybody on their side of the slate. And, I mean, yeah, it's always going to be an inequity if you win the West versus winning the East. But, you know, it's just part of, you know, that's the way they switch back and forth. But if you have, let's say, Bama's 8-0 and Texas A&M 7-1 and Georgia's 7-1 and someone else is 7-1, how are you going to decide who gets to play Bama then? I think that it's important to win a spot to a title game.
And that's by winning
the division.
I hear what you're saying, but doesn't the two teams in the Big 12 win their way into the title game right now? Like
everybody in their own conference. That they play everybody in their conference.
That's true. That's true.
It's a 10 team, so they play everybody. In a 16 team league, you can't play everybody.
No. Hey, you make a great point, Johnny. I appreciate the call. I don't think 8-0 or 9-0, 9-0, 9-0. I'm not even sure if that's like logistically, mathematically possible, but. Also, just from an odd standpoint, we know that's not true. That's a fair argument, man. That's one of the best arguments, actually. One of the best arguments against doing away with divisions is what happens when Alabama is clearly number one, hypothetically, and then you've got Georgia and A&M, who didn't play each other, who are both sitting at 8-1 in the conference. Well, in our current situation, Georgia would automatically go because they're in the East and they won a division, which I would argue is completely arbitrary because it's just a bunch of random teams in one division. Like, there's no real reason why that team has earned their way in versus the second-place team in the West. This goes back to the top four argument in the college football playoff. Just because you win a conference doesn't mean you are one of the four best teams. I've never understood why that is difficult to understand. Just because you win the Big 12 or the SEC or the Pac-12 or the Big 10 or the ACC does not automatically make you one of the top four teams. If the four best teams are in the AAC, that's possible. It's possible this year, when you look at preseason rankings, that you have Alabama at 1, Georgia at 2, Texas A&M at 4, with Ohio State mixed in at 3. If you're a fan of a team that is clearly looks like one of the four best teams, but you just happen to finish second in division because geographically you're located in Texas and happen to be in the SEC, that should not take away from your case to make the playoff. So I never understood that argument from college football fans. Well, we're Big Ten champs. We belong in. Like, why? What? That doesn't mean you're one of the four best teams because you are from the Midwest and LSU's from Louisiana. Like, that's not fair. So I get that the argument could end up with teams being tied and it doesn't feel as clean. And I agree, if we could play everybody, that's an ideal, perfect situation. A perfect round robin with the top two going, makes sense in the Big 12. And I get that that's the argument, and actually it's one of the best arguments. But it's not anymore. I would rather have two teams at 8-1 who have played at, you know, this 3-5 or 3-6 rotating schedule where you've played everybody you can possibly play. You know what your schedule is. You're rotating through every 4 years, which we all know is what the SEC office wants. Then I would just rather take that and the chances on that than the chances on a team winning a division that doesn't deserve to win a division. That, again, that's not a problem in the SEC. It has not been a problem in the SEC. It is a very big problem in every other conference. Like the remember when the Big 12 was in divisions? The Big 12 South? The Big 12 South was a significantly lesser than, or was a better than division than the Big 12 North. The Atlantic right now is a better division than the Coastal. The Big 10 East is significantly better than the Big 10 West. The inequity and the imbalance has always been there. I just think we get rid of divisions and we got a chance to see more teams more often, sell more tickets, sell higher TV revenue, put a better championship game together, and we're on our way to a college football playoff. ESPN Radio, ESPN app, Paul Feinbaum Show, Braden Gall in for Paul, 855-242-7285. More of your phone calls next. However, we're going to talk a little realignment as well. So all of that coming up right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%. This podcast is proud to be supported by Jet's Pizza, the number one pick in Detroit-style pizza. Why? It's simple. Jet's is better. With the thickest, crispiest, cheesiest Detroit-style pizza in the country, there's no competition. Right now, get $5 off any 8-corner pizza with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Go to jetspizza.com to learn more and find a location near you. Again, try Jet's signature 8-corner pizza and get $5 off with code 8SAVE. That's the number 8, S-A-V-E. Jet's Pizza. Better because it has to be.
This is Braden Gall here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio. It's a radio show, so we talk on a radio show, the ESPN app, 855-242-7285. You can get to me at Braden Gall on the Twitter sphere. Welcome to the show, Reggie Walker, former Penn State Nittany Lion, joining us here. Reggie, how are you, sir? Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me. I'm doing great. How you doing?
I'm doing well, and I just there's been so much chaos, like, over the last 18 months, over the last 8 days, since Monday, it feels like there's all this nonsense that we have to try to make sense of. But really, is it important for college football fans to hear that on Saturdays, all this stuff may be changing and swirling around our sport, but on Saturdays, your experience as a fan is still probably going to be the same as exactly as it always has
been? I think you're exactly right. Yeah, you're exactly right. It is. It's at the end of the day, unless something else happens, right, COVID-related, we're still going to have a whole lot of 100,000-seat stadiums full on Saturdays. We're going to have a lot of people in the parking lot having a couple of pops before the game, if you're picking up what I'm putting down. And at the end of the day, there's going to be people complaining about why their team is not in the college football playoff rankings, top four, who got left out, who's getting, looked past because of who they've beaten on their resume and what those team names are versus how good people think they are. All of that is going to be the same once we hit September in 2022.
Do you think I don't know about you, but I see the NCAA make decisions like they did on Monday, and it hurts my brain because I'm like, you had 25 years to figure this out, and then they told us all we could do something, and now they're telling us we can't. And we all want the athletes to be compensated, but we want it to happen without the destruction of the college football system. I don't know if that's going to happen now that the NCAA did what they did on Monday.
No, I think you're right. I think the most interesting part of that, right, is all of a sudden, let me make this point too, because Mark Emmert has been getting absolutely drilled by everybody for the last 10 years, and most of it rightfully so, but this proves that it wasn't about him making a decision. It proves that there are other people within that organization that can make these types of decisions. So it wasn't all on him. I'm not saying it wasn't on him, but it wasn't all on him. So we'll go there first. But I think you're right. The decisions are getting made, but what people don't like is the disruption of their own control. And the presidents and chancellors thought they had their own control when the federal government would not get involved with NIL and the NCAA would not lay parameters for NIL. So the schools themselves thought they had control. And then when everybody figured out how to work around the control that the athletic directors and the presidents and chancellors had, now all of a sudden they want to make some changes and make some moves. The reality of this situation is you're not going to put this genie back in the bottle. You're not going to put the toothpaste back in the tube, as they say. NIL is here to stay. And what is going to have to happen now is the only thing that's going to slow this thing down in terms of what we're seeing right now is that, unfortunately, some of these young men and young women get really burned badly by deals that they sign that put themselves in awkward situations. And then I think people will slow this thing down and do a better job of looking past just how much money am I going to get and more so what am I inclined to be held to as it relates to those things.
Reggie Walker joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Braden Gall in for Paul here on ESPN Radio. You can get to him on Twitter at rwalk13. Divisions in football, they seem to be disappearing. I'm in favor of them. Where do you stand on the value of keeping divisions in our conferences?
I think there's a lot of value in keeping divisions in two ways. The regional, right, the regionality, if that's really a word, of some of those games, right? To have Auburn and play Alabama for sure every year. To have, even though they're in different divisions, the Auburn-Georgia rivalry, just talking about the SEC alone, right? Some of those games that need to stay intact. LSU and Texas A&M, we need to see those types of games every year. And my fear is, you look at places like the ACC, there is a chance that, right, if the schedule changes with what they're looking at right now, there's a chance that North Carolina may not play either NC State and or Wake Forest or Duke. One of those may not be on their schedule every year, and that's kind of what we expect. That is Tobacco Road, and so to lose those types of games would be an issue. Some other places, if you look around the country, all of a sudden you may not have, and I know some people may not care about this in the South, Indiana-Purdue. All of a sudden, if they're in, you know, in the same division because it's all one division in the Big Ten, what happens if they don't play every year? Your Minnesota, Wisconsin's, your, you know, all of those types of games, you have to be careful losing that tradition and that and those types of things. Now, look in the SEC, right? You're looking at right now, Texas A&M always plays Arkansas. Well, here comes Texas and Oklahoma into that league. If all of a sudden it's one league or it's four different divisions, some of those games get lost. And I think some of us get frustrated by the loss of those sort of traditional games in college football, even though Texas A&M and LSU is sort of a newer one, if you will. But some of us get stuck in those and we get frustrated by the potential of losing those. And I think those are some of the things we got to keep an eye on if we go to basically single division conferences.
Reggie Walker joining us here, former Penn State Nittany Lion, also does some broadcasting work. And Reggie, I know you're tied up with Conference USA for a variety of reasons. And I'm just curious, it feels like, you know, with all the moving parts, we're starting to see some of these pieces fall into place, whether it's with the Sun Belt or the AAC or Conference USA. What is the future for the Group of Five in general, big picture down the road? Because it's still extremely popular amongst college football fans. The budgets are very different, though. They're kind of playing different sports. What do we think is going to happen to the Group of Five if there is this all these big TV contracts and realignment and a breakaway and all this stuff? What happens to those schools?
I think they're in trouble if that happens. And I think there's two things to watch as it relates to that. Obviously, we know the Big Ten and their media rights deal is up this year. And we've seen from Kevin Warren, he's talked to everybody, whether it's Apple, Amazon, CBS, Fox, he's talked to everybody, right? And so what do those rights look like? How much money gets pulled out of the system to go to the Big Ten? Right. We know that the SEC and CBS deal is expiring. What does CBS do next? Who do they put money in? Right. And all of a sudden, if all that money is taken out of there, including what ESPN might do, although we know obviously they're going to have basically everything SEC and ACC. But what if they go after the Pac-12 and get a bigger piece of the Pac-12, those types of things, or even the Big Ten? Then all of a sudden, how much money is left for Conference USA? How much money is left for the Sun Belt, those types of leagues? And when the money dries up from a TV standpoint, where do they go? Where do they find solutions and answers? And if you continue to watch the trickle down, look, I said last year when all this stuff started really happening, one of the things I said is one of these group of five leagues is not going to survive.
Yeah.
And if you look at what's happened in college football, it looked like, in my opinion, I thought it was Conference USA that just had no chance to survive. And somehow it's going to survive. But if you look at the trickle-down effect, they had to go pull teams out of the FCS level across these leagues to keep themselves viable, if you will. And so now you're looking around. Let's just go down to one of the FCS leagues, the Big South. They're down to five schools. You know, they had to go get a provisional opponent, a provisional team in Bryant University, which is in Rhode Island, to play a bunch of schools there in the Carolinas. So that tells you right there some of the things that are happening. And if some of these leagues don't find a way to get on the same page, maybe some mergers are coming potentially, there's going to be a lot of trouble for the group of five because there's just going to be no more money out there for them to live off of.
Yeah, I agree with that. There needs to be some money earmarked in these TV deals for these lower conferences. Reggie Walker, thank you so much, man. Former Penn State Nittany Lion. We appreciate your time, bud. Thank you.
Anytime. Thank you.
Absolutely. Reggie Walker there. We'll react to that and your phone calls. How do we save the group of five? We'll do that next. Braden Gall in for Paul right here on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Wednesday edition, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, 855-242-7285. My name is Braden Gall. Honored to be filling in, sitting in the chair for Paul today. At Braden Gall on Twitter. Talking a lot about the changes that are going on in college football. What else is new in this world? And Bama Lady says to me on Twitter, please take more callers and slow down. You talking the whole time. This is a call-in show, not a podcast. I'm happy to take some calls, folks. 855-242-7285. Chad from Georgia. What's up, Chad? Welcome to the show.
Hey, man. How's it going?
I'm doing well, man. How are you?
Hey, listen, first of all, I'm a Georgia fan, so I'm going to look at it, and a Georgia alumni, so I'm going to look at it from that perspective to a certain degree. But I can't disagree with you more about dissolving the divisions, and I'm talking about SEC because you're on the SEC program right now. Your arguments don't hold water. You said they're going to make more money. This is something that has worked for 30 years. I'm old enough to remember the prior to and then the henceforth. You know what I'm saying? I was like 10 years old when Herschel was around. So I remember when we won the national championship in 1980. So, but, you know, it doesn't hold water. You keep talking about Georgia's schedule. It's so easy this year, so easy this year. But in your other argument, you were just complimenting how strong Mississippi State was, right? Then you say earlier in the show, Mississippi State was strong for like a middle of the pack West team. Am I correct?
I think Mississippi State's going to be a pretty good team this year. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, you did. Okay, you did, yeah. I know it's hard to remember. You say so much. But guess who Georgia is playing this year in Starkville as their rotational Western team? They're playing Mississippi State in Starkville, okay? We play Auburn every year as our crossover game. Obviously, that's the Deep South's oldest rivalry. Okay, I'm also old enough to remember that in the 90s, the East was much stronger than the West was. These things cycle around. And what I'm trying to say is this. Just because you don't have divisions doesn't mean one team could have the easier schedule, a much easier schedule. It's going to be a roll of the dice. You follow what I'm saying?
Yeah,
That's just looking at it from the scheduling side of it.
Yeah, nothing you've said is wrong so far. Nothing you've said I disagree.
And then a guy earlier in the show, and I hadn't really thought about it, but you've been really harping on this unfair scheduling, and Georgia's got it so easy. Auburn didn't suck so much recently, hell, we wouldn't have it that easy. Auburn's supposed to be good, okay? You know what I'm saying?
That's not Georgia's fault.
That's not our fault. Exactly.
I agree.
You're making my point. That's not our fault. And we're playing Mississippi State. We played a very good Arkansas team last year as our rotational game. And, of course, we destroyed them, right? All right. But they were a top 10 team. They could have easily been a 10-win team. Okay, there you go. All right. And so, additionally, Tennessee is usually better than they are. They're on the come up. Kentucky is going to be what Kentucky is going to be, kind of like Ole Miss. Mississippi State is going to be what they're going to be. South Carolina, you know what I'm going to say. But the only change I would make, I'd advocate, is Auburn should be in the East and Missouri should be in the West, okay? I mean, that putting Missouri with us is crazy. It makes no sense whatsoever. But the guy said earlier, regionally, it creates some rivalries. Georgia never had a rivalry with Tennessee until 1992. We've been playing them for 30 years now, so they're kind of a rival. You know, South Carolina's a rival now. We recruit against each other. It's a regional sport. It also gives you something you can shoot for. Win your division. It gives the players and the fans an accomplishment. But the guy was right as far as driving to the games. You know you've got five, six games that are going to be within driving distance every year.
Chad, how far is Auburn from Knoxville? How far is Auburn from Columbia, South Carolina? How far is Auburn from Gainesville?
Well, Columbia is an outlier. I mean, Columbia,
I'm just saying.
I'm talking about Missouri.
Regional.
Not bad.
But
Auburn
should be Tennessee. Chad, what I'm trying to avoid is Tennessee, South Carolina, and Florida playing in Auburn one time in 14 years. That's the problem. There is no regional rivalry right now with those teams.
Well, we haven't played. That's because they didn't put Auburn in the East. Okay?
Right. So that's my argument is to get rid of all that. And so then you can play Auburn every 2 years, twice, every 4 years. Like, that's the key and I appreciate the call, Chad. I don't disagree with anything you just said, man. I really don't. First, Mississippi State and Auburn. Here's what I'll say about Georgia's schedule, and I realize Chad got a little worked up there because I guess I was attacking Georgia. I'm not. I think Georgia's the best team in the country last year, and they're going to be number two this year. That would be my argument. I wouldn't pick against them to win it again, frankly. But they're going to be a double-digit favorite over every single team on their schedule. And even if Mississippi State, which I believe is going to be better than people think, I think they're a pretty solid football team. That is still a fourth or fifth place team in the division. Auburn is going to be picked seventh in the division. And to your point, Chad, Georgia's crossover next year is Mississippi State and Auburn, who could be fourth and seventh in the division. You're going to miss all of the best teams in the West next year. And what would happen is, with the new schedules, you would only miss them 2 years instead of 7 years. That's the problem, is you're only playing a team every you go 7 years, you play one once, you go 7 years, you play them again. And that's just not – we can't have that. There is no regional – Auburn and Tennessee, how often do they play in Neyland Stadium? Once every 12 years. How often does Auburn play in Gainesville? How often does Florida play in Auburn? Once every 12 years. Like, that's not a regional rivalry. Those teams should be playing every 4 years, if not more often. And that's what this does. So, again, this is why I just – the divisions were created for only one reason, not for competitive balance, not for regional rivalries, not for fans. The only reason divisions exist at all is for money. They were invented out of thin air for no reason at all except for revenue. That's what they are for. A championship game is a money grab. And Roy Kramer was genius when he came up with it. He stole it from a D3 league in like Virginia in like the late 80s. It was genius. Brought in Arkansas and South Carolina. We have evolved beyond that now. Championship games aren't going anywhere because they make too much money and they're too much fun for everybody. But getting into a championship game as a one or a two seed versus a division rival, like I just don't see where there's a negative there. I honestly don't. 855-242-7285. More of your calls. All right. I promised I would take calls. Chad took up all your time. Don't get mad at me, guys. Get mad at Chad. So all of your calls coming up, 855-242-7285. I'll shut up. Your calls right here on the Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, ESPN app, 855-242-7285. Now we got some calls. Now you guys have loaded up the lines. I love it. Braden Gall in for Paul, at Braden Gall on the Twitters. Bubba from North Carolina. Bubba, welcome to the show, man. How are you, bud? Bubba from North Carolina, welcome to the Paul Feinbaum Show.
How's it going, Braden?
Hey, man. What's up, dude?
Hey, did I hear Larry calling you Peter Burns earlier?
He did. He did it three times in a row, I believe. Yes.
Yeah, I think he's had a couple too many Bud Lights this evening. Listen, I may have misheard you. Did I hear you say that just because you won the SEC championship didn't make you one of the best four teams in college football? Did you say?
What I said was winning a conference championship, regardless of what that conference is, does not automatically make you one of the four best teams. Because you just won a conference. Does that make sense?
There's no way that's possible. You can't tell me the SEC champion is one of the best four teams in college football.
No, that's not what I'm saying, Bubba. What I mean is that just because you are a conference champ, again, regardless of what that league is, that doesn't automatically make you – like if South Carolina won the SEC championship game somehow, some way, and they were 8-4 and they won the SEC title and they upset somebody, that doesn't automatically make them one of the four best teams.
Nah, I don't agree. That's not going to happen. You know that's not going to happen.
No, I agree with you.
I mean, you go back and look at the recent history of the SEC. The SEC champion is going to be one of the four best teams.
Yes.
That's backed up by hard facts.
That is not my
number argument. Two, I'm going to tell you a team that did not deserve to be in the Final Four was the 2017 Alabama team. They didn't win their division. They didn't win the conference, and they got a free ride to the championship playoffs. And that was the biggest ripoff in college football. And you say, well, they were the best team because they won the game. They should have never been there. They didn't earn the right to be there. Nick Saban is losing that game for three quarters with Jalen Hurts. He makes the most brilliant move in college football history, puts a freshman in the fourth quarter, wins the ball game. Hey, Nick Saban's a genius. That's a fact. But they had no business being in that national championship game. They played a snoozer against Clemson. Georgia had not only played an extra game in the SEC championship, but they had to gut it out in overtime against Baker Mayfield in Oklahoma and then face Alabama, who played one less game. And you tell me that's right.
Well, again, Bubba, and I appreciate the call. I am not arguing that the SEC champion normally isn't like all these teams we've seen over the last 30 years win title. Like, that's not my argument. What I'm saying is, and Alabama clearly can say scoreboard to all you Georgia fans because they won the game. They're the national champion. And they didn't get a free pass. They went 11-1. And they earned their way into the playoff just like Ohio State did when they weren't a conference champion in 2015. So you don't, like, again, this is my issue is not, it's not because you are a champion of a region that you are better. Obviously, the SEC is the best conference. So on 99.9% of the time, the champion will be deserving and will get in. That, my argument is not specific to the SEC. What I do not understand about college football fans, in particular those that are not SEC fans, is that because we are a champion of the Pac-12, we belong in the playoff. No, you don't. Because we are a champion of the Big Ten, we belong in the playoff. No, you don't. It's not because you're the champion of the SEC that you belong in. It's because you're one of the four best teams. Their job is not to put in the four best champions. Their job is to put in the four best teams. And this is just something I just have never understood. I don't understand. You happen to be the best team in the Midwest, so that's why you get in. You happen to be the best team on the West Coast, so that's why you get in. That doesn't make any sense. This is why automatic bids are coming. It's why expansion is coming. It's why we're going to get to 12 teams. Because there are going to be teams that don't deserve to get in that are going to get in. Like 7 and 8 division champions, right? Like in the NFL, when you go 7, 8, and 1 and you win your division and you get in to the playoff, to the NFL playoff. It is what it is. More of your calls when we come back. Right here, Paul Feinbaum Show, ESPN Radio, Braden Gall.